Welcome to The Beauty of Conflict, a podcast about how to deal with conflict at work, at home, and everywhere else in your life. I'm Chris Murray.
And I'm Susan.
We run a company called Thrive, Inc., and we specialize in conflict resolution, stress management coaching, and building strong, thriving teams and relationships.
Now, we know no one likes conflict, not even us. We've written two books on the topic. In our work over the last 20-plus years, we've found most people avoid, manage, or diffuse conflict. The problem is when you opt out of conflict in these ways, you miss the creativity, the connection, and the possibility that lies in conflict.
We also know 2020 has been, well, let's face it, a stressful year. And what Susan and I realized is all the tools that we've developed and utilized around conflict apply directly to uncertainty, which is what we're living in now.
In this podcast, we have tools, concepts, and interviews that will help you cope with the stress and uncertainty of conflict, of COVID, of social justice issues, and yes, even politics. We hope you'll walk away from this episode with some fresh ideas that change your day, your week, and even your life.
Today, we're going to talk about stress when the stressor just won't go away.
And some of that has come up for us because right now we're dealing with what I think the papers call and the news calls COVID fatigue. And maybe that's a great name for it, but it's also a sign of what we refer to also as burnout. Mm-hmm. In some respect, we are burnt out.
Emotionally exhausted.
Mentally exhausted, physically exhausted from dealing with COVID. And yet, here's the deal. COVID isn't going away. Even if we get these vaccines out and stuff like that, it's not going away right away. Mm-hmm. And COVID indeed may be the stressor and the problem, but it's not really, it's not. We think the real problem is the stress it creates and how we are dealing with that stress.
So we're going to talk on today's podcast about how, when the stressor doesn't go away, how can you take care of yourself? Because we're still going to live and breathe and take one step forward, and we want to give you tools to support you. And we're going to first talk about just the idea of burnout, because it is about emotional exhaustion. And Emily and Amelia Nagoski, they wrote a book called Burnout. They're two sisters, they're twins. Fascinating. But when they described burnout, they talked about emotional exhaustion. They also talked about depersonalization. You lose empathy. And also the sense of, hey, no matter what I do, I'm not making a difference. So that's their definition of burnout. But what we really latched onto and thought was very powerful was this idea of emotional exhaustion being you get stuck in a feeling and you're not aware, because we're not too attuned to that feelings actually. Most of us, we know this, Susan and I, that feelings live in the body. But often what people do is they get stuck in a feeling, so they never complete this arc of this feeling. And what you need to know is, one, feelings live in the body. They have a beginning, middle, and end. And you have to go through them to get through the tunnel. And if you do, then you'll see that light at the end of the tunnel. Otherwise, you get stuck in the dark.
So we really think that this is critical right now with what's going on in the world, because I bet in any given day, all of us are dealing with some sort of emotional residual something coming up during the day. Maybe it's that all the people around you were not wearing masks, or maybe it's because you found out that your business is going to have to shut down,
or
the San Francisco 49ers don't have a place to play football. I mean, it could be any one of those.
Or you've been on one Zoom meeting or Teams meeting like from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You haven't had a break.
All of these things are stressors. And unless you actually find a way to deal with the stress that comes up from those, you're likely to start suffering from COVID fatigue, burnout, or whatever you want to refer to it as, from this experience that we're having right now.
We were keynotes at the Montana Health Summit, and we listened to the other presenters. And this one gentleman, he deals a lot with the caretaking industry, so healthcare and all sorts of nonprofits that take care of people. And one of the things he found is that when somebody was stressed, they'd be like, well, let's send them home, like before COVID, to get a massage or do self-care. And he's like, that doesn't work. Because when you're going through stressful events, if you, especially in a business or an organization, if you don't actually debrief that together, you're not really helping people recover their resiliency to deal with what's next. And it's so interesting when we work with teams, we have found that taking the time to, even when there's been an event, talk about, well, what worked, what didn't, that emotional, they wouldn't say it's emotional processing, by the way.
Well, maybe, but it is. And, you know, the ironic thing about it is most business teams want to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Or, you know, let's figure out what we're going to do. What action are we going to take? Which there are times when maybe that is exactly what you need to do. However, whether you do that or not, you still have to deal with the
impact
that it's had on people and the way they are coping with it. And usually it's not about fixing it for those people.
No.
It's about listening to them. I mean, we deal with this in change and transition in businesses all the time. You're not going to go back to the old way, but you do need to let people have their feelings about what they're letting go of, the loss, the various things. Same is true today with COVID. There's been a lot of loss. There's been a lot of emotional issues that have come up. And if we don't give people the chance to talk, we can't fix them.
Mm-hmm.
But we do need to give people the chance to be heard and seen.
And that's what I think business leaders, people don't realize, even couples, don't realize the power in just listening to somebody and their experience.
Well, I love that you brought up couples, because that is like, I mean, how many of you, if you're in a couple, there's always the fixer and the, you know, the one who's like, okay, let's just solve the problem. And when we do our couples work, you know, we spend a lot of time saying, this isn't about solving the issue right now. This is about talking about the issue, being curious about each other, really listening to each other, not just driving to a solution.
And even slowing down and asking, well, why is this so important to you? Like really understanding the other human being that you care about. And that's the same is true on a team.
Yep. The same is true on a team. The same it's in a family. There's just so many different ways. Like I remember with my family where there was a divide for 10 years. We didn't talk to each other because of stuff that had been churned up. You know, when we finally got together, I thought it was because, you know, it was going to be about me getting to tell my story and be heard and recognized. You know, what really was the most impactful thing was that I actually listened to my mother talk about the impact my version of what had happened had had on her. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, because I didn't feel like I had to prove my story or fight for my story, I just felt for her. I had a felt sense because it wasn't, we were no longer fighting about right. We were just listening to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when I felt myself have empathy for her, I was so surprised and like, wow, this is what it actually means to have this kind of contact again and this connection. And it wasn't about me telling my story one more time or whatever, you know, I'd had people listen to me and I knew that I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to prove it,
yeah.
But that was so powerful. And how often do we think, you know, the other person has to believe us or feel our
agree.
Or have empathy for our side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
When really, if we just feel our own empathy for them, that may be the healing that needs
or
to take place.
Even empathy for ourselves.
Yeah. Or ourselves. We,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, this brings into play, we can have stress and stressors, and we can have stress that's been from long ago,
mm-hmm.
like things that have happened growing up that can actually still live in our bodies. And one of the things that I became aware of, the stress that was in my body from my childhood, based on having a chronic back injury, I mm-hmm. had gut issues, I had skin issues, I had allergies, all these things going on. And it wasn't until I recognized that I was suffering from what's called mind-body syndrome, which is something in me that said, you know what, you have all those feelings, but they're too dangerous to feel. So we're going to distract you with all this chronic mm-hmm. pain. And Dr. Sarno and Dr. Schubiner are two experts in this field. And it's kind of ironic. It fits completely into the work that we do at Haven, which is dropping into the body and being willing to feel your feelings, even from long ago. You think, oh, I'm not going to make such a big deal of it. But we get stuck in that story and we never complete that arc and it lives in our bodies.
Now, I'm just going to say, they may be the scientists that have proven this, but I would say you are an expert in this area. Not only have I watched her work with this for herself over time, but you have done it so well with even your clients and helping them get this,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think it comes from understanding, maybe these guys gave the science to it.
Mm-hmm.
But to put that into practice, how do you actually work with this? So say a little bit more.
Well, one of the things I realized, that's very sweet of you. Thank you, Susan. I'm very touched. And I do come by it honestly, since I have done my own work. I had to actually recognize that I was caught in a freeze response. So we have this vagus nerve that is the second largest nerve in our body. There's the upper branch, which is up in our ears, nose, and throat and heart. And then there's a lower branch that goes down to our guts. And we know about fight, you know, fighting, being aggressive, or fleeing when you're flighting. But there's a freeze response, which when you've experienced chronic trauma, which I grew up with chronic trauma, just growing up in my household, what happens is you start to just turn your response off. You go into a, like a possum playing dead sort of stance. Now I'm still operating, but there's this low grade freeze response, meaning I'm just not going to feel my feelings. I'm going to focus on what's outside and how to actually please the power people around me, because that's what's going to keep me safe and alive, which as a little person was true. But I got stuck there. And so what I had to do was really, when I recognized all these chronic issues, I had to land in my body, which literally meant feeling my feet, like wiggling my toes 20 times a day, like keep coming back into my body. And I had to kind of turn on my sensations, both physically and emotionally, becoming more aware of what I was feeling and processing through that, and not trying to get rid of them, but actually turn towards the sensations in my body. And those people who are feeling phobic, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to feel. One way is just to start landing in your body, making sure you're feeling your feet and your seat, and then noticing the sensations that are happening in your body and just track those. I mean, that really helps.
In some respects, that's a really powerful way, because even people who have big emotional expressions, one of the things that sometimes anger expression and things like get a bad rap because somebody gets angry and it just charges up and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the reason for that is because if I decide I'm going to deal with just how pissed off I am that somebody betrayed me, and then I start dealing with the story, you know, they did this, they did that, they did this, they did that. And it gets bigger,
bigger. I can tell.
And bigger. And, you know, and then what can help is if I stop kind of revving on the story and just deal with, okay, what am I feeling in my body? I've got like this. For me, it comes up like a nuclear explosion. Like I got all this energy in my body. I need to move that energy. It doesn't matter why. I need to work with that. Okay, right now it feels like rage. Okay, next it feels like tears. But just keep letting that sensation, or, you know, I name them. Sometimes that gets in my way because I lose the sensation when I do it.
Yeah.
But what will really lose it if as I start going into the story over and over and over again.
Right.
Because the story never has the ending the way that I want it to. So right. I'd be much better off playing it with the sensations and allowing that. And maybe I could write a new story. That's true.
Yeah. Well, and I do think, you know, you were helping me with a stress. It was from my dad who's written a book and wants me to read it. And I just don't want to read it. And this came up over Thanksgiving weekend or just in a text last night, actually. And as we took our walk today, I started out feeling quite agitated and like, oh my God, I'm going to have to read his book because he always gets his way because he's such a bully, blah, 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 blah. And you were like, okay, breathe into that. And then you actually had me kind of gestalt is a form where you complete a conversation in your, and so you had me talk to my dad, become my dad, talk back. And at the end of that, nothing has changed. My dad's still going to ask me to read his book, but I felt so much more grounded and like I had choice. I felt like I was whole again, because I think that's what stress can make you feel like, you're not whole.
Yeah. And I think one, dealing with even, I thought it was really powerful when you were like, I don't want to read the book. That is self-defining. Mm-hmm. It's not even saying, ah, oh, well, you know, because when you're really mad, you're kind of, I will never read that book, you know? And it's like, it's a whole different thing, right. You know, because you're still in battle with him.
Right.
But if you can come back to, this is what it's about for me.
I don't want to read it right now.
I'm not doing that. And this is, you know, here's how I am showing up. And
because I am still processing my world from way back when.
Yeah, I do not want to end. You know, and we all do that. We have our moments where something happens, and it can happen at work. It can happen when people don't have their mask on. I'm still amazed at how upset I can get about the mask wearing thing. And, you know, I realize it gets triggered because I, or like 6 feet apart. That's probably even a bigger one for me. Like, and part of it was I kept a lot of physical space in my world when I was growing up. That's how I kept myself safe. So it really bothers now. I can feel myself retreating back to what used to be old patterns of mine to keep people at a distance. And it's like, wow, this was something I did a long time ago for safety. Now it's about safety too. It's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to remember that. Don't do all the evil eye and try to, you know.
So we're talking about stress that's happened a long time ago that the stressor is gone and you're still, like for me, yeah. I'm still processing the stress. That's what I was doing with the mind-body piece. And then there's stressors that aren't going to go away, like COVID. And there's things that to do to help you process through that on a daily basis. It's like siphon off the stress so that you get back that feeling of feeling safe. I'm at home. I have choice.
I think about how much in the last few months we've been working with so many teams. Like we worked with Microsoft with this Unpack Your Stress, and now we've done it with a number of different teams. And a lot of these companies, their level of stress is not even, yes, some of it's because of the remote nature of things, but a lot of these companies were stressful before.
Yeah, they're constantly
and,
stressed.
Yes, and they're going to be stressed again.
Yeah.
And so really then the idea being of how are you going to, unless you quit your job and find another one, how are you going to be able to walk into that stressful situation and not just have it create burnout and dis-ease in you?
And there's two things. There's one, developing some skills at the team level where you have regular ways that you debrief the team, how it's going. That's often why we come in to help have that conversation, because especially with this remote working environment, people are less willing. They go right to the work.
And yeah. And there are a lot of things that could happen in an in-place work environment that would naturally de-stress things.
Yes.
That don't happen now. Mm-hmm. And so we've really been trying to help teams come up with ways on meetings, even the simple idea of checking in, which we talked about this past week, of check in with one thing you're grateful for. Very different way to check in. Mm-hmm. And not very many business people do that on a regular basis, but it changes the way your brain operates.
Which changes the conversation in the meeting.
And now, you know, try to find ways to have a coffee break or whatever kind of break it is, because those breaks did make a difference in your workplace.
Oh, they did. If you walked down and just were chit-chatting about your weekend and, you know, you felt this sense of connection and belonging, which we talked about on our previous episode of belonging.
So we want to talk about just some simple things you can do if you know you have stress in your system from your workload and you know it's not going to go away. These are some things you can develop.
So not at the team level, but at the individual level, one of the main things is move your body on a regular basis. And those of you that are doing Teams meetings from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you really have to take a break and move your body. And this can be as simple as if you don't have a lot of times, just take a big breath and tighten all your muscles, hold your breath until you can't hold it, and then release.
Or get up and have a dance break. And that's actually not just good for you, but if you have little kids running around, they'd love for you to step out and do a 1 minute dance break between your Zoom meetings.
Hey, and you can't say, we did this at Microsoft with hundreds of people and Unpack Your Stress. We'd start off the meeting with a song and have a dance break.
And most people can turn off their video if they're worried about anyone seeing them. What was cute was people had gifts and different, you know,
and they put them in the chat. Yeah, those pictures.
So there's various ways you can demonstrate your dance moves, even if you, and be doing them on your own. No one needs to see them. So.
And the other thing is just take a brisk walk. Walking out in nature, you don't have to wear a mask, and that, you know, your nervous system is supported by just the oxygen in the room, getting out of your space. Simple things, or if you're a runner, whatever it is, make sure you are moving your body, because that will siphon that fight or flight will get discharged because you are moving your body that way.
And of course, you know, one we have to give a shout out for many, many times over and over again is breathe. There are so many different ways you can work with your breath. We have a whole podcast on it. I suggest you listen to that if you don't know. It's a great book called Breathe. There's many ways.
But one of the main things is make sure when you take an inhale is your exhale is longer. It just has to be 1 second longer than your inhale. So that long exhale, it actually activates that parasympathetic nervous system, that rest and digest. So it helps your body go back into a state of repair when it's been in this fight or flight.
Now, the next thing that's really important, and this is one of the things that's probably in the business world has shifted from the remote working, is just social connection. I mean, people used to get this by driving by, picking up their coffee on the way and saying hello.
To the barista, you mean?
Yeah, to the barista, or they'd go in at work and take a break and go down the hall and chit-chat with someone. Those little interactions are very important. I mean, these days, I puzzle with my mom.
Yeah.
My sisters, we each have the same puzzle and we're doing a holiday puzzle. We're all in different locations, and it was so cute. One time, my mom even thought that I was with her. She actually, they came to deliver her lunch, and she said, well, can I get a brownie? My daughter's here with me. And I was like, No, I'm not. I'm in Montana. But maybe she was just trying to get two brownies.
She did ask for a cup of coffee, too. And then I thought, well, maybe she really did think you were there.
Well, she did say it felt like that. So I was so glad that this experience of puzzling had that experience of her having somebody, because, you know, she's been pretty all alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even my 88-year-old mother figured out Zoom all on her own, set up a meeting. Our family has never connected that way. And she made it happen on Thanksgiving. And it worked. For the most part, it worked.
And, you know, my sister, who's the instigator of pretty much all things gatherings, created an online version, this time with a video game, Among Us.
Oh, it was so, fun. I played it. It was good.
Anyhow, so there's lots of different ways, even in this virtual world, that you can create that kind of connection.
And then there's just this idea, another good stress relief for you individually is just that belly laughter, just having a good laugh, whether it's watching your favorite movie that makes you laugh,
or thinking of a time when you have laughed a lot. I remember that was a suggestion someone made, and I can think of times. The key is you want to get to that genuine, deep belly laugh. And we have a friend, Carol Ames. She does a program called Quantum Laugh. And Up at the Haven. She works with humor. But the thing that she always has these little videos of little babies laughing. And talk about a way to get people laughing is listen to a little baby's giggle, a real genuine. And you can't help but laugh,
yeah.
You know?
And another thing, and this actually came from Christmas Chronicles 1 and 2, is actually singing and dancing.
It's a way to raise the Christmas spirit.
But it does. You can tell just when people get engaged in music, it's such a transformational experience. So that's why that dance break
Or even my Peloton. I'm not like the Peloton people that I sometimes hear about, but I love the Peloton music and the people who make more of that music. That is the thing. You know, it's just great.
Yeah. And also having a good cry, letting yourself cry is a great way to have that whole arc move through you. And you don't have to think about why if you don't like crying.
Better not to think about
why. Yeah. You can track the sensations like the heaving in your chest or the tears on your cheeks, whatever you're noticing. Focus on the physical sensations and that will help you move through it and just allow it to happen for you. And then, and we do this in our couples workshop, hug until you relax. And it's a way of actually, you stand on your own two feet, you know, in front of somebody, and you really just let yourself be held for what can seem like a longer time, 20 to 30 seconds. But when you let yourself do that, your nervous system kind of downshifts. And there can be, depending on who you're hugging, a sense of like, wow, I'm home, I'm safe. Mm-hmm. And that is really, no matter where you are, you can bring that sense of safety.
And I know those are things that are harder right now, but I think that's where, you know, animals right now, we're fortunate. I can still hug my dog. I can still hug other people's dogs when I'm out in the woods, you know, they come up. And I think even hugging a pillow, something that gives you some felt sense of that contact can be really powerful. Even hugging yourself or getting in a bath.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great ways to have that same sort of sense of coming home to yourself.
And another one is creative expression. And both Susan, you tend to write to kind of process your world. Mm-hmm. Our recipients are the Mojo Mondays.
That's exactly where it comes in. Yeah.
And I'm a painter and I paint not to make pretty pictures, but to actually just process what I'm feeling. And I have this big piece of cardboard up in our spare room and I put this paper on the wall and I sometimes do finger painting, throw paint, whatever it is, not make pretty pictures, but make kind of just what I'm feeling sort of pictures.
And I think about clients of mine who have done just amazingly creative things. Like this one client I had, she had just had this horrific, like really dark, horrible situation with her family and historically. And she had spent years journaling about all of this. And in a suggestion on doing something with it, she decided she ripped all her journals up into little tiny things. And she paper mache'd this beautiful piece of art that she actually put on her mantle in her house. And she'd been long separated from her family, but her family came over and they all commented on how beautiful the art was. And she said, you know, there was this sense of satisfaction in her that she knew that they were seeing the beauty in even her expression of her story and who she was in a whole different way that they could have never heard it. And I thought that was just a beautiful example of someone taking something, a broken heart, and turning it to art.
Yes. And I've been actually coaching a couple of executives and actually suggesting the artist way. And two of the tools that are very powerful that bring you back into connection, bring me back into connection to me and my artist and my creativity is morning pages. So taking 15 minutes and journaling, just whatever you're feeling, just getting it out on the paper. And then an artist date, which is just an hour a week where you do some sort of adventure. It could be just taking a drive in a different place. It could be investigating a different store, but it gives this sense of space, like, oh, there's more than what my world contains. And it can be a little tricky with COVID, but you still can do things safely on your artist date.
So hopefully you have found this helpful. And thinking of, you know, in your world, where are there stressors that may not go away, mm-hmm. but you still need to know and be able to deal with the stress.
And think of it on a daily basis. How can I discharge my stress and revitalize my sense of resiliency and my nervous system? And even just talking to somebody about how your day went, being where you have their attention and you feel seen and heard is very valuable.
This is where we often talk to couples. A great stress debrief for couples is when we talk about the 555. It's another way for them when they each come home. Well, nowadays they're at home. So when they come out of their respective offices to have a 555, something to debrief, because that is about letting go of some of that stress so that maybe then you can have a conversation about what to do next.
And those of you that don't know the 555, it's just taking one person takes 5 minutes and just talks about their day and the other listens. And then 5 minutes, you use a timer and the other you switch and they talk and you listen. And then the third 5 minutes is a clarifying questions, building on the, it's more of a dialogue. Takes 15 minutes, so you have that time. Mm-hmm. And it brings a sense of connection and also discharging your system and feeling seen and heard.
And of course, if you're struggling with this, you don't know how to take care of yourself, reach out. This is the work we do in our coaching. This is actually the work we do with teams. A lot of the work we do with teams, if you're a leader of a team, your team may be suffering from a lot of stress. We'd be happy to support you and help you with that.
Yeah. And you may not think you need help, but it's so powerful to get help. And I know that from my own coaching that I receive and also give. Okay. You have a good week. Thank you for listening to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. We know conflict, stress, and uncertainty can be hard to navigate. So if you want more support, you can check out our other resources. We have 2 books on Amazon.
Our business book is The Beauty of Conflict, Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage. Or our couples book, The Beauty of Conflict for Couples. We also have an ebook, How to Discuss Difficult Topics. We'll put the links in the show notes to make it easy for you.
Also, if you need help with your team at work, we regularly conduct team sessions both live and virtually. If you'd like us to speak at your next event, or if you want coaching, Susan and I each coach business leaders, individuals, and couples. You can reach us at thrive@thriveinc.com. That's thrive@thriveinc.com.
If you've enjoyed today's podcast, please take 30 seconds to give us an iTunes review. It helps get this show out to others. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a peaceful, productive, and beautiful day. Take care of yourself, and we hope you'll join us again for another episode.